Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. That's something I think the fans want to know too.
Yeah?
That's right. You know why? Because, hey, we're back, we're back, we're back. You're listening to
Living the Scream,
the behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey Show
with your host,
Janet Takei, also known as Janet J.
And James Harmon, also known as Grim Gory. That's right. We're in our kitchen today for this episode, the third episode of Living the Scream.
Yes, live from our kitchen in Cleveland.
Yeah, and we just finished our delicious dinner from Burger King. We had, Whopper meal for two.
Yes, the Feast of Kings. Oh, I had boy. Burger King coupons, and we were pressed for time. Oh, geez, Grim.
Excuse me.
All right, James?
Yeah, Grim. No, Grim did that. I didn't do it.
Sounds like something Grim would do. Ooh, onions. But yeah, we had some yummy Whopper meals.
Mm-hmm.
Whopper for two.
Washing it down with, we're going to probably not do the show shot today. We're going to instead substitute it for our Coke and Diet Cokes here. So cheers.
Cheers. Charged. Coke and Diet Coke.
You hear that?
Ding.
Yeah, delicious. Mm. Ah, that's right. So you can do what you want out there. You can show shot. Do what you want. But anyway, today we're actually on our way to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yes, everyone has been talking about it, and we love the first one.
Yeah, so we love the first movie. Like pretty much all the Marvel movies that have come out so far are pretty great. We're also big superhero and comic book fans in general, so
right.
These things are great, you know? We love going to see them. So,
we're going to do half of our show segments.
And then when we return from the movie, we'll record the other half. So
right.
We'll see how we sound then. No spoilers or nothing like that. We won't give anything away. So this is a spoiler-free episode.
Mm-hmm.
We will go see Guardians 2, but we won't. Give anything away.
We don't want to be that guy and kind of ruin it for everyone else.
Yeah, those idiots. So, well, instead be these idiots that are going to talk about what we think anyway is interesting to us tonight. We're going to talk about the topic today is cosplay characters, original versus ones that already exist. Yeah?
Right. Cosplay versus creating, not necessarily versus, but the difference between cosplay and creating your own identity,
right.
Your own character.
Because we are asked every now and then, who are you cosplaying? You know.
Oh, that's a great costume. What are you dressed as?
Right. And that's, you know.
You know, where they just, no, they don't have a clue.
Right.
And it's nice that they think our costumes are cool, but then we have to, like, do the whole spiel and explain what we do. And
right. You got to understand the confusion there because cosplay is such a big thing, has been a big thing for the past bunch of years. Well, that term, cosplay, I mean, people have been dressing and doing costume stuff since the, you know, comic convention started in the 1960s. It's just now that that whole, I think that comes from the anime side too, right?
I believe, I may be wrong, but it started maybe in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it was short for costume play.
Right.
Cosplay.
It is.
Costume play.
And it's still short for costume play. But, yeah, so we get asked that question, and we explain to people that we're, you know, obviously besides being out of our minds, we dress up. We're horror hosts and host our own show, The Mummy, the Monkey, which can be seen at The Mummy and
the Monkey. Sorry,
which can be seen at themummyandthemonkey.com. We don't have to do the unison thing every time we Mummy Monkey.
It seems more just fun in unison.
Cool your jets there, Turbo.
More like
it does
important
it does.
Or official or something.
But cue, you know, let's maybe cue each other before we want to do it. I just thought I'd say it real quick because
just give me a sexy little wink when it's.
I have to work on that sexy part, but I can definitely give you a wink. You took all the sexy.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting deep here. Are you wearing your boots?
Wow. Yeah, and you got your shovel in the boots. Anyway, back to the topic. So what do you, like,
Well, let's roll into this. Originally, I started as a cosplayer. You know, I thought it was cool. You know, you read these comics, you watch these animes, you're a big fangirl or fanboy,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, well, I want to do a cosplay.
Right.
I want to dress up as this character that I love and get to be that character for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something to it. It is a lot of fun to for Halloween or for a convention, you get to kind of escape from your real life stuff, escape from the stress, and just say, hey, I'm Rogue today, or I'm Batman, or I'm Goku. You know, to just have that sense of escapism and just pretend you're someone else for the day. And people take your pictures and they think it's fun, and you're hanging out with other costumed nerds that kind of get the stuff that you like too.
So it's like Halloween, but at multiple times during the year. You don't have to just wait. Because I mean, that's the closest I came to before being trying a horror host thing was, making some cool costumes. Like I made a Blade costume from the movie Blade, the Wesley Snipes version.
Oh, nice!
With the leather jacket, I had the hole cut in the back for the plastic samurai sword I had. I made the little coagulant glowy. I used the hair gel for the test tubes to make the blue anticoagulant.
A little dab will do ya.
Yeah. The only problem, though, it was for Halloween. I did win a costume contest, but the problem that people didn't know who I was because, I am not fully African-American. I am biracial. I'm half black, half white. But I definitely look more white than I am. I mean, as far as the bar, I'm perceived as more white visually. So people thought I was The Rock. Because I guess maybe The Rock, I don't know if he wore leather, but this is when I was like maybe, you know.
Sometimes he would wear 60 leather pounds jackets. Lighter too. Most of the time he just wear them little tight
long trench coats shorts, like that. Well, boots. I didn't wear those.
Sometimes you would see pictures of him posing in like a jacket, but most of the time when he was wrestling, he didn't wear much clothing.
And I had the shades. Which
just ladies liked.
Yeah, well, all right. And I had the shades. So yeah, I think someone just thought I was weird. But anyway. No, I'm trying to be Blade. I can't be Blade.
Aw, and that would be all kinds of wrong to try to put makeup on to look darker.
But I wouldn't do that. But
that
I
might look
yeah,
not
that's,
so good.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah, it didn't want you know. But I made the vest and everything out of cut foam and pleather, and I still have it somewhere. I mean, I still have some of the parts to it. But yeah, and then when I got into the horror hosting thing, I had to create this character. Now the Grim Gory character that I portray started out with this monkey mask that I ordered online, and it had it has a hinged jaw or movable jaw because it's just two pieces. It's the jaw and then the mask glued to a piece of like breathable type of material.
Was
like,
that hard plastic one or is
no,
this
no,
the softer
that was
closer
I'm
to what
about
we see now?
What we see now. The,
okay.
This version of this incarnation of Grim Gory, the current one. But I just used it right out of the box and had that hair, had some kind of just like long. Sort
it
of
was like long straight
silver
hair.
Silver black.
So there's older pictures and videos with Grim Gory and I where he had long, sort of straggly kind of monkey hair.
Yeah. And if I had the ability to actually, create a mask and sculpt it and make it, I would have done that and then cast the latex and all that. But I don't have those skills. I would have done that. But I did order it out online. And later, but I noticed we went to some conventions and some other people had the exact same mask.
Right, and you didn't want to just.
Right, and there's one guy in particular that would dress up like the symbol monkey.
Oh, that was that Horror Hound weekend. Like I think maybe a couple of years ago.
He had a bellhop costume, but it was the same mask, and but he didn't wear glasses or anything. I wore just shades over it. I always had. So I was like, well, then that made me think. Well, I need to really maybe kind of add something to this to make it a little different. And I had old drawings or, some recent drawings. I was trying to maybe see what he would look like as a greaser because he's supposed to be from the 1950s.
Yeah, so the greaser thing fits perfect for him.
Yeah, because before I would just do the black leather jacket and the white T-shirt and that mask with glasses. So I went out to Starship Earth, which is a local costume shop that's been around for years. It was around.
They're on Lorraine Avenue in Cleveland, and those guys are great.
It's
They've
crazy.
Got all sorts of different makeup,
masks,
different costume pieces if you're trying to put something together.
They rent costumes. It's called Starship Earth, and they actually were around the Broadway area when I grew up in the 70s and 80s.
So they had one in your old
hood,
too.
That was the same people.
Same people.
It's the same owner, and they just moved the store a bunch of years ago. But I went there. I got like a pompadour, an Elvis wig type of wig, and snapped it on top of that. mm-hmm. and try to create a whole new...
I remember helping you with that.
Yeah, a whole new look for Grimm so he wouldn't look like every other person that has that might have that same mask out there.
So that's great that you can get a mask and make it your own and put your own style in it.
Right.
Where it's not just, oh, here's my Halloween costume. I'm right. a horror host. You can make it your own and make it different.
And I took it to another level to not just have it him wear a black leather jacket, but I started seeing... paying attention to what people wore at like Waste Cinema Wasteland. You know, they had the punk rockers.
Oh yeah, the punk rock jackets and vests with the spikes, and people decorate them with patches and layer it.
They layer it with they put the black jacket underneath the denim vest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that I thought, you know, hey, this is coming together and starting to have its own look. You know, it's not just out of a box. Because I think the more you can add to an original character, obviously, the better. And the more, you know, the more it is yours.
You're making it your own. And mm-hmm. what I even like, and it's an added touch, you took an old pair of biker boots and painted them with, like, skulls and flames.
That's
and...
right. I tried to get all crazy with it. Yeah. And I've seen some other stuff recently at one of the conventions that I was like, man, maybe Grimm should have... There was a fella that was walking around with these jeans that were made out of had all kind of weird patches on them. I thought that was kind of neat.
Oh, yeah, they were almost like, is that the one where they looked more like bell-bottom jeans?
They might have been a little bell-bottom-y,
They were like flared out a little bit, or maybe boot cut, but yeah, he did the flared out part with the patches, and that was
the
kind of neat.
The whole thing was covered. I wish I would have taken a picture, but yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different one, but I've seen it where people, yeah, they even decorate their jeans. They'll paint on them, do the patches, so that's pretty sweet, you know, to dress a little bit different and be your own.
Right. Right, and Decay's costume, Janet Decay's whole thing started out more of like a dirty mummy. Not dirty in the sexy sense, but she had, there was a lot of, it was that too. But it had a lot of, I remember there was like the belly button, the nose had dirt underneath
It started with the zombie walks. That's how Decay came around. I wanted to do something different, so I thought I'll make a mummy. You know, one that just woke up. And, you know, when you look at pictures of mummies that have been dug up, they look dirty.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just plain white bandages. They're very aged. They look dingy, filthy. So I took fabric and cut it into strips, stained it with coffee and coffee grounds, and kind of rubbed the coffee grounds in the fabric to give it that kind of aged, gross kind of look.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, originally my makeup was very dark. I would even put
dark
shadow or makeup or something in my nostrils, like around my ears, to make it look like an old mummy. Where even the nostrils and everything look old, you know? So she was kind of scary at first and kind of gross. She wasn't at first supposed to be like this
bubbly,
perky, you know, sexy, friendly mummy. But over time, I guess she got cuter and I guess I can clean up nice.
Yeah,
she learned some fashion sense where... I lightened up the makeup a little bit. I added some different colors. I have a whole wardrobe for her now where I've got a mummy jacket that I have decorated with the bandages, with the patches and buttons. She's got a dress, like a skirt. I made a couple different bra tops where I took a bra and pretty much put the fabric over it, decorated it, and the one has like little coins and sequins, and it kind of jingle jangles like a belly dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walk, you definitely hear me.
I got bras that jingle, jangle, jingle. Yeah. So I guess we're applying a lot of the same techniques and ideas that someone would when they cosplay an existing character.
Well. And with the cosplay, too, people get creative with some of the cosplays where they'll take, you know, like a Captain America, and it's a female, and they'll make it into like a little Lolita outfit or a steampunk dress.
And mash up with some other characters.
Yeah, they do, or they'll do a character mashup. So I think that's pretty cool, too.
I'm going to fall out. We've seen kids dress up already as Grimm and Decay, which is kind of funny.
Yes.
Some friends of ours, their kids, they sent us pictures last Halloween. Of their kids dressed as Janet Decay and Grimm Gory, and that's pretty, pretty cool. I mean,
I was really taken aback by that, mm-hmm. and I was, like, almost in tears when I first saw a friend of ours, Justin Ord, and he's a horror host also.
Mm-hmm.
He does a show from Southern Ohio, but, yeah, his kids dressed up like us, and he sent us the pictures, and it was like, oh! It was so damn cute.
Pretty neat, yeah.
And so cute.
Flattering. But I'm waiting for the day where that might even be something people come dressed up as.
Well, I think maybe the Mummy and the Monkeys should, like, market their own Halloween costume.
That could happen. That can happen. Yeah. I mean, we're treating this like an intellectual property.
Because, we've got our, we definitely own the characters.
Oh, yeah.
We have our LLC. Trademarking's in the works. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's something that we could think about.
Yeah, it's moving right along down that path for sure. And then we can make all kinds of cool stuff like Mummy Monkey comic books and, mm-hmm. Whatever we want, any kind of merch or fund it to work on that kind of stuff.
We've talked a lot about comic books or even like a kid's activity book, like a coloring book with the Mummy and the Monkey.
Yeah, just kind of like just saturate the market with a bunch of junk. Now, we're gonna have some more interesting merchandise available by next Cinema Wasteland. I think that's what we're going to debut a lot of stuff.
Just hoping,
in October. Yeah, but as far as the cosplay thing goes, we're not cosplaying an existing character. We are creating our own characters, which happen to be horror hosts. So when people ask us that question, I hear someone mowing their lawn.
Oh, how exciting. If it's not snowing and the sun is out, many Clevelanders love to mow their lawns.
We
need to do yard work, but it's still a little chilly.
For May, the beginning of May here.
Yeah, it's like only 50 degrees out.
Pretty cold here in Cleveland, and we're waiting for the weather to break so we can get out there, and so Janet here can wear her skimpier outfits.
Yes. I need to stop eating Burger King so I can fit into my skimpy outfit.
Well, that was your call. But it was good. It was good.
We'll work it out. We'll do housework or something later on.
Yeah. Something later on.
Something.
Yeah. Anyway. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I could talk about. I'm going to check my phone here to see if
See if anyone has any questions.
Any questions. And then
we did get an actual snail mail letter.
Hey, let's read that
in
letter.
In our P.O. box. Not a P.U. box. P.O. box.
So we have what I'm going to call a fabulous fan. His name is Scott Breitmeyer, and he's from Rochester, New York.
New York.
Yeah, we got a couple of friends up there in New York. Todd Youngman, but he's another funny dude.
And he doesn't think I'm real.
Yeah.
I haven't met him in person yet, but he likes to joke with James.
If you're listening to Rochester, New York, I'm sure a lot of people probably know who Todd is anyway. He's a comedian. He does a lot of stand-up out there. Check him out. He's got some shows coming up, I think, this month, so... They're probably all sold out anyway. But let's read this letter from our fabulous fan, Scott.
Fabulous. And he is super fabulous.
He used every inch of that paper. Look at that.
Wow. Okay, where do I start?
From the beginning.
There's just writing all over this notebook paper.
All right, ready?
Okay.
Me.
Dear the Mummy and the Monkey Show. Wow, so eye-popping Monsterlicious, my favorite horror host, and the new Mr. and Mrs. Adams, Yummy Mummy, Janet J. Decay, and her Hunky Monkey. You two are so fantastic, ghoulish, and fun to watch. You always put a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and fun into every monster show. Movie stars, would you be so kind as to send me an autographed photo of the two of you together? Plus, either an order form or informational sheet concerning the purchase of one or two of the Mummy and the Monkey t-shirts. And if you have the first or second season of the Mummy and the Monkey Show on DVD yet? Thanks so much for being so special, funny, kind, and delightfully ghoulish. You two are like my new monsters and Adams family. I truly adore you and your creative work and comedy. Thanks for everything, Monster Stars. Love always, Scott. But then there's more on the back.
But wait, there's more.
Sorry about rambling on so much, but I really think the two of you are extremely cool and funny. Thank you again, movie stars. P.S. Two Halloweens ago, I found a DVD called Mother Riley Meets the Vampire, starring British comedy actor Arthur Lucan and Bela Lugosi. It was pretty funny, and I had Lugosi and a robot. I don't know if that's something you could show. I'm not certain if it's public domain. It was made in 1952. I'm also planning to order your Revenge of the Spacemen movie. Besides that, I have a video on YouTube.
Okay, we don't have to read all that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch about how he how he works at a university and the kids put together a fun movie.
But the meat of the letter was definitely his gushing about our show, which is very flattering, and we love the fact that someone really watches the show and likes it.
I was like shocked someone actually mailed a letter and then wrote some really nice things in that letter.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. That's
awesome.
Thank
you, Scott.
Yeah, then we got a package coming your way. Don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah. We'll make arrangements.
Yeah. So,
yeah, if any of you guys, check out the mummyandthemonkey.com for sure. We have our P.O. Box address on there, mm-hmm. the store info, our Facebook fan pages, our Gmail, all that. Razzmatazz.
What's up, G? Yeah. You can contact us in many different ways and talk to your favorite mummy and monkey. That's right.
Yay!
We're here for you. So, yeah, send us your questions and all that kind of stuff because we'd love to answer them. Let's see.
What time is the movie playing?
It's at around 7-ish, so we need to get going in a little bit. But we got a few minutes here to kill.
Okay.
To keep going. So
yes, check the comments.
I be looking. What I got?
Does this thing talk?
No.
What is this guy? There's this weird little guy sitting by the desk or sitting at the table here. He almost looks like a skeleton alien thing in a robe.
I brought him just to look at. I didn't know we were going to
feature
him on the show, but that's okay.
He'll randomly bring over toys for us to look at and go through to either keep or resell.
Let's play what's on our kitchen table. Okay, so we got this little guy, this little death or the Grim Reaper dude. Then we have a Browns coaster made by Wood Cremations. Our friends Stephanie and Jackson out there make these awesome little wooden coasters.
Little wooden coasters, yeah.
Duh. There is also a coffin that they made us for our wedding present.
That was an awesome present. There's wine in it.
It's a little wine coffin. It's a coffin about maybe 2 feet long with a wine bottle and little glasses in it. And on top of that is
a gunned vintage plushy dog.
Oh, it's a Pomeranian.
He's a little Pomeranian plushie, and he's on eBay right now.
Yeah,
and a coffin. So maybe he'll get a new home.
Some headphones, a tape measure, a pepper grinder, and a glass from Universal Studios, and a pair of headphones. Crazy. So, yeah, we just thought you'd be interested in that, or probably not, but you know, who cares? We're just trying to fill some time up here before we have to run and go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. That's right. We're going to go check that out. But
we will do part 2 of this. As Decay would say, stay tuned.
That's right. Okay, so I guess we'll roll out then, right?
Yeah.
Let's do this. All right, we're going to go see this movie. Then we're going to be right back. It's going to be like magic. We're going to go see a movie. 3 hours are going to go by, and boom, we're going to be right back within less than a minute.
I know. Time travel.
That's crazy, man. Crazy. That's right. You're listening to Living the Scream, the behind the scenes of
The Mummy and the Monkey
Show. That too.
I goofed that.
All right. Don't worry about it. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Mwah.
Yes, hoppers and flies, but this kind of bug really takes surprise. It's a turtle bug.
Welcome back to Living the Scream, behind the scenes of The Mummy and the Monkey Show. We had a little bit of a fail here.
Yes, we had a movie fail.
Yeah.
We said we were going to go out and see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Volume 2.
Yes, and we just thought we could stroll right in, get our tickets, and go see the movie, but apparently...
Nope!
Going to go see a movie has changed quite a bit.
Yeah, in some theaters. It's one of these AMCs that they have the reserved seating. And should have thought about that beforehand. I guess it's a little bit of a faux pas on our part.
But
Gringori only has two paws. He can't make a faux pas, get it?
Anyway. Oh, jeez. So we decided to unwind some mummy humor.
Yeah.
We went to the Metro Parks and went for a little walk.
A little stroll in the woods.
And just bouncing ideas back and forth to try to get some stuff going for our stage show coming up.
What stage show are you talking about?
Well, we were asked if we wanted to open up for a charity event that Big Chuck and Little John are hosting at the Green Eagle Winery. And I believe it's close to Warren, Ohio, or Niles, Ohio.
Yeah, this is on May 20th. In a few weeks, so
May 20th, 2017, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, we got to come up with a half-hour sort of opening act, warm-up crowd thing for the event, and we're honored. We can't believe that we're actually we're asked to do this by the event coordinator. Thanks, Doc, for that. Appreciate it so much, and hope we don't let anybody down. We did a half-hour stage show last October at the Goulardi Fest all 3 days. We did
We did a stage show all 3 days at Goulardi Fest, and if anyone isn't familiar with it, just Google Goulardi Fest, and it's a fun little convention devoted to Cleveland area horror hosts, especially the very first one, Goulardi.
Yeah, and in his honor, his three-year reign of late-night TV here in Cleveland from 1963 to 1966. We're bouncing ideas off each other and trying to get some jokes stuff together to do for the opening act. And man, it's harder than it seems. That's for
right.
Sure.
And even though we have some experience with the stage shows already, you know, when people ask us, our first response is yes, that sounds great. And then I'm thinking, oh, no, what are we going to do for this? Yeah. So we're trying to, like, plan it out, have it all memorized on, you know, if we want to do, like, skits or jokes or
maybe both. Hopefully, if everything goes right, we'll be able to show a couple of skits, you know, three or four skits on a screen that might be there. I don't know if Big Chuck and Little John are showing a movie like they did in the past. They've done this before at the Packard Museum in Warren, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one they did was like in 2011 or 2012, where they would show a movie like Little Shop of Horrors or Planet 9 from Outer Space, and they would open the show. Do a little bit of their shtick, and then show the movie in about maybe three or four parts, and take a break, and actually come back and do some more stuff.
And a pizza eating contest. Yeah, and they're world famous pizza eating contest.
Yeah, they're pizza fights. They're going to have one of those at this event, but not really. I think they might show a movie. I'm not sure. I'll hopefully get more all the information this week. And we're going to do our best to entertain the folks there. For a half hour.
Hopefully it goes by fast and it's fun and people don't throw rotten tomatoes or rotten bananas at us.
Yeah, we're pleased as punch to be involved with this in the Big Chuck and Little John world. It's something that I only dreamt of as a kid and never thought I could actually or would actually do something like this. Wanted to do it, and here we are doing it. It's crazy cool.
So yeah, it's greeneagle.com, and it's green with an E at the end.
Yeah.
Greeneagle.com, and it has the event info on the page. I think it's only like $10 to get in, and it is a charity event.
It's a fundraiser.
For
the Warren
Philharmonic Orchestra.
Right.
To help fund their project.
Yeah, so it's for a good cause. Come on out and come see us, but mostly come out to see Big Chuck and Little John, man. It's really cool that they're still doing this stuff. Matter of fact, I'm gonna try to catch their show tonight at 11:30.
Yeah,
the skit show. Like
that's right.
Because they might be promoting it.
11:30.
You never know. I mean, maybe next weekend. Because they did mention us on the late night show whenever Goulardi Fest was going around. Sorry, I keep hitting my phone.
We got a mention.
Yeah, we did. We
how
got a shout out
that
the mommy and the monkey. Well, that was on the radio show.
Yeah. Yep. So when we did our Goulardi Fest thing, Big Chuck and Little John were on Magic 105.7 WMJI.
Mm-hmm.
One of those. Yeah, that station.
105.
And they did say that the mommy and the monkey were going to be there. I think Big Chuck was confused on our name.
No, that's okay. We're nobodies. It's understandable.
It was close, I guess, you know.
Hey, that comes with the territory. You know?
Right now, I'm just a mummy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll be a mommy. We'll see. Right.
But you're definitely a mummy.
Definitely a mummy.
And I'm definitely a monkey, man, let me tell you. But, yeah, so we're just sort of taking it... you know, one step at a time and enjoying every second we can with it. It's frustrating.
Right.
And I don't know if we touched on this last one of our first show, but Janet and I do everything on the show. We write it, we film it, we edit it, we do all the...
We tap on the table while we talk.
All the post-production. Yeah, we do all that. We do all of the... I was trying to emphasize my point. But we do everything on the show and because we want it done a certain way.
So. A one mummy, one monkey army. Yeah. We do have our Monsterage group.
Yeah. All you people, all you Monsterages out there, you got your cards, right? Your membership cards. You know who you are. Yeah.
Some people have an entourage. The mummy and the monkey have a Monsterage. So, thank you to you if you're listening right now. Yeah. And, it's a lot of work to put the video together. The podcasts are so much easier, and they're fun because we can talk about behind-the-scenes crap and, kind of a filler in between our videos.
Yeah, so you'll probably hear 10 of these shows before you see a new episode.
Yeah, it might take a couple weeks or a couple months, we do get video out there.
Yeah, and we decided to, since it does take so long to put together actual episodes of the show, that we're doing 6 episode seasons. And that's pretty good for us. I mean, we're going to be shooting episode 6 hopefully next weekend.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Oh. So we need to shoot episode 6 for season 2, and then we need to flush out what we're going to do for the stage show.
Yeah.
Memorize it over and over again. Hell, maybe even get video of that too.
Yeah, stage shows first. But yeah, we're going to try to videotape that performance. It would be great. And we still have all the footage from Gilardi Fest we haven't done anything with.
Yes, we do have a lot of footage from that stage.
From 2016.
So maybe we can add that in episode 6.
Maybe. We were going to do the whole thing with Barney Bonedust, I think. That's a whole epic.
Yeah.
Back to the story
stuff. We had our little characters in our Mummy and Monkey world within the Erie Cemetery. And there's a character that we want to bring back.
Yeah, so
If you want to touch more on it.
Well, but like Mr. So the way the show goes, I mean, we do a lot of live stuff or stuff shot on location, like at Gulardi Fest, like at Cinema Wasteland, for instance, or at our shop, the Thrift Oops. Crypt, which is located at 13349 Madison Avenue.
You got the address right.
In Cleveland, in Lakewood, Ohio.
Lakewood, Ohio.
Yeah, ooh, almost messed up.
Close.
But we also do a nod from or an idea from Mystery Science Theater. We like to do some writing, story writing, where there's actual a little story arc that with our characters that goes throughout the episode. So when you come back from the movie segment, hey, we're in the middle of a multi-part arc story.
Mm-hmm. So you can see what's going on with, what's going on with Grimm Cliff.
We have multiple characters on the show. We have Cliff Jablonski, who is our show announcer, who is like this really cool puppet I found at a yard sale that somebody made. It's a little red devil puppet. It's pretty sweet. And he's around here somewhere. Hey, Cliff, where are you?
I'm over here. I'm getting something out of the fridge.
Okay, cool, man. Go ahead.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, he's in the back there. And Renfield is another character who is Janet's magical staff.
He's my magical enchanted staff. He's pretty much a bat head on a stick that a good friend of mine who's passed on made for me. Yeah,
Jim Clink.
Jim the Colonel Clink. Yeah. Very cool guy. He was a convention friend. And rest in peace, Colonel Clink.
I'm sure some people remember him from the conventions. He was quite a character. But yeah, he created this staff. It's basically, like Janet said, a bat head slapped onto a stick. Onto a mop handle.
Something. It's like a broom handle, a bat head on a stick.
It's pretty cool.
He's got little sparkly eyes. He's kind of cute. So his name is Renfield. He's my lovable little sidekick.
And he talks kind of like Sulu, like George Takei.
Yeah.
He's kind of like very serious. He's another. Yeah,
he's got magical powers. He can like make things float and bring me popcorn from the kitchen and make it float over.
Yeah, so he's pretty cool. And
Renfield?
Yeah.
Can I get a drink refill?
Oh, sure. Get up and get it yourself. The cup's right across the...
I can't reach.
Well, then, I feel bad for you. I'm busy.
Oh, he's stuck up sometimes, too.
But, yeah, so we have multiple characters on the show, reoccurring ones. For instance, so our first episode, we're on our set, our Mummy the Monkey set, and Grimm has a box that he had to dig up, which was an experiment from some, genetics lab in the 1950s that they wanted him to dig up that was located in the cemetery where they shoot the show. was buried there a long time ago, and this laboratory wanted them to dig it up.
They were going
to
relocate it or something.
Yeah, they just wanted to, you know, it was buried in the 50s. They just wanted them to dig it up and bring it to the lab after it was done shooting a show. And, it would so happen that Decay had a magical ankh, which we
devised. I remember that.
Yeah, so your ankh that you wear keeps you alive because that's what's part of the cursed objects and stuff that brought or made Decay.
Yes, it's one of the enchanted or cursed ancient Egyptian artifacts that keeps me mummy-tastic.
Yes, and it's part of our mythos, our canon. And, well, the box got a little close to this charm that she wears around her neck, and it brought the thing in the box back to life. It broke out of the box, and it escaped into Cleveland, you know, to the streets of Cleveland.
Just ran amok the streets of Cleveland.
Yeah, you never really, and we called him Earl, the creature. Now this creature, it's all, we did it where you didn't really see anything, but it just used sound effects, it was all like
theater. Kind of like in a,
Theater of the mind, even though you're watching it, not like, so we combined kind of like radio where you only hear things with video.
Yeah, I was going to say, almost like those old-timey radio shows where they would do all the wacky sound effects.
Yeah, so
we threw in a bunch of sound effects for Earl to make him sound big and scary.
Yeah, and you see it, so you don't see him, but you see him in your mind's eye. But at the end of the show, he comes back and Grimm takes him in as a pet.
Yes.
And then episode two, you grow up a man-eating plant. Actually, it's not a man-eating plant, it's a vegetarian.
A vegan flytrap.
Yeah, a vegan flytrap. And, but... what happens?
Well, he's
not such a vegan.
He ate Earl, didn't he?
Yeah, he winds up eating Earl.
Yeah.
And you do see one of Earl's claws in that episode that I put together. It's pretty fun.
Yes, yes. All that was left of him was the claw.
Yeah. So we make everything. We make our own costumes, make our own props.
Mm-hmm. There was one episode where I was, I think that was episode three, where I was trying to find a date and I was dating a vampire.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much just a bat on a string.
Yeah.
That flies in.
We didn't even try to hide the strings.
Yeah. I mean, no, all expenses were spared.
Every penny was spared. But we have fun. I mean, and so we go back to how the show works out. So we were writing a lot of stuff and hopefully you're coming up with some fun storylines if people care about it. We have to bring back... the clown.
Colonel Clown.
Wow. Yeah, he...
Hi, everybody. I'm Colonel Clown.
Oh, there he is, that spooky clown. Get him away from me. Oh, my God.
I'm watching you sleep, Grim.
Oh, Lord. I don't like that. He's a creepy clown, that one. But yeah, so Colonel Clown kind of just popped up in one of our last episodes.
Wow.
And I think it was episode four. Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
We were sick.
Yeah, that was our sick in bed episode.
Yeah, it's Frankenstein's Island. It was so bad.
The movie, that's right, right. The movie was so bad it made us sick.
Physically sick.
I was trying to remember because it's been a minute.
So Decay and Grimm are trying their hardest to get back into feeling better. And their friend, Belgor, their sworn enemy, who actually lives at the cemetery. Sounds like we're making this all up as we go, but no, these are little stories.
No, this
that we
is
wrote.
Real stuff that we thought up with.
There's a character. There's a character from out. He's like a Plan 9 reject alien called Belgor.
Yes.
And he first appears in The Mummy and the Monkey Conquer the Khans, where we put together like three different convention.
We made an interesting way to show convention footage.
What we think, anyway.
That we thought it was interesting, so anyway. We turned it into like a B-movie story.
Yeah, a little mini-movie, like Plan 9, like, sort of like Plan 9 from Outer Space meets convention footage. Instead of just saying, hey, you know, you're just showing it or just editing it and putting it out there.
Belgor the alien was trying to steal our memories of conventions to build his own army of atomic horror hosts.
Horror hosts. Atomic.
Yes. Yeah. And for some reason, Belgor the alien talks like Bela Lugosi.
No, you have to. That's the evil way to talk. Is like Bela Lugosi or Bela Lugosi. So yeah, so that's sort of the Belgor, and I play him as well in the show. So Belgor, once their once sworn enemy, actually returned in episode five of season one.
Yes, and he did come back for our little weird sci-fi episode that took forever to edit.
Yeah. So if you
we did a lot of green screen, and it was super cheesy. But
that was probably our one of our toughest episodes to put together because we had a lot of special effects in it. Belgor shrinks Grimm and Decay, puts them in a little bell jar, and they're trying to get out.
Belgor puts them in a bell jar?
Yeah, see, of course. This is a Belgora. He sticks with what he knows.
But seriously, even though the effects are cheesy, that was the hardest to put together because of the green screen, all the different shots we had to do for that. And then there were things that we had to shoot over again because we made some goofs. And then learning to do some of these in the editing program because we don't claim to be pros in any way, shape, or form. We have fun doing it. So we're kind of, a lot of it we learn as we go. But there were times where I said some choice words and maybe threw a little tantrum.
Oh boy, did you? but it's all learning experience. And again, we try to do more than just sit there. We're nothing against factoid shows, but we don't.
There's a lot of them already.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So we want to be different.
The horror host. It seems like I'll just stand in front of my set. And then just talk about, and this movie, The Blob, was made in 1953 and stars such.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, they gave you all the factoids throughout the whole movie. Sven Gulli does that.
Yes, Sven Gulli does it. He does it in a fun way.
Right, and that's his thing. But so to be a little different than that, but we want to do more episodic things like story-oriented stuff.
I always think, too, like if someone wants to watch something for the factoids, they'll watch another host that does it. Or they'll just Google it themselves.
Yeah,
but they want to know who's in the movie or every little minute detail.
All right, but we enjoy writing and coming up with ideas and being more creative and pushing ourselves to do something that we would enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then there are some days where it was like, okay, let's just kind of make this a little more simple. Sometimes we'll shoot an episode on location at a convention. We did an episode at our store when we had our opening weekend back in February.
Yeah, that's the latest episode.
That was season 2, episode 5 that's out now.
Yeah. But, you know, and we do the on-location stuff. Like, one of the coolest things we did was interview Lloyd Kaufman. That was a fun interview.
The founder of Troma. Is funnest a word? That was the funnest interview.
It is now.
Funnest is a word. That I had a lot of fun interviewing that guy.
That was really
fun. And we really threw him off, too, because I asked just goofy questions.
Yeah, Lloyd Kaufman, if you don't know, is the founder of the Troma
Entertainment
company, and they did Toxic Avenger, Nukem High,
Rabid Grannies,
Class of Nukem High, Rabid Grannies,
Sergeant Kabuki Man.
Yeah, but Rabid Grannies is one of those movies that they distributed.
Oh, is that the one? I don't think they made that one.
It's a British movie, so I don't think they made
it. Oh, okay.
But whatever. I mean, I could be wrong.
But yeah, and they also buy other people's independent films to distribute.
Yeah, they.
And speaking of that, did I mention Revenge of the Spacemen in a previous podcast?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, Revenge of the Spacemen was picked up by Troma Entertainment.
It's a movie you were in.
And it's a movie that I star in. Shot in Medina, Ohio by Jay Summers and his crew. Terrence Carmichael a lot of good people that worked on it. A lot of great local actors that some of them are now like in LA doing theater stuff.
Oh, really?
Yes, really. Cool. Awesome. So they don't always like to talk about the cheesy B movie they were in.
But you know, you got to start somewhere. Humble beginnings. But it's a pretty fun. We have that for sale at the store too. The non-trauma release.
Yes, we have the non-trauma release. We have limited copies. Yeah. So if you shoot us an email or stop into the store, we can hook you up.
And you get a free poster with it, a Revenge of the Spacemen poster. It's pretty neat.
Yes, and it's original artwork.
Yeah, based on original artwork. So, yeah. But, yeah, so the Mummy and the Monkey Show is really just sort of a way for us to use all of our creative tools, if you will, and do some fun stuff. We got, like, a whole thing. This next episode is going to be really fun to shoot. We're bringing back a character that appeared on Not So Famous Monsters. So there's regular segments on our show as well that I wanted to try to put in almost every episode.
And one is called Not So Famous Monsters.
To create an identity for the show. One of the segments is called Not So Famous Monsters, and it's lost audition tapes where horror hosts that wanted to be the Cleveland's first horror host back in 1958. You know, they went to WOPU studios and auditioned, and Grimm has in his possession a lot of these old reels of all these. So it's like the idea was to take American Idol and mash it up with horror host auditions. But funny enough, there are actual horror host auditions. Like the Gulita one is that tape that's out there on YouTube
was an audition tape.
Yeah. And I didn't ever
the,
saw
the
that.
The only Gulita is one that we inducted into the Horror Host Hall of Fame just this year, so that's cool.
Yeah, but I'm staying straight. But so the talking about the show stuff. So we had that, and there's another thing where I try to do this static comic. It's called Creechy Comics. So it's like the Creep Show type of thing, mm-hmm. where it's just stuff I come up with.
So Creechy Comics, Not So Famous Monsters, and then my Rotten Reels segment mm-hmm. are ones that we try to keep as normal.
Rotten Reels for sure.
Yeah, normal segments or reoccurring segments on The Mummy and the Monkey.
And that's and Rotten Reels is Janet's little like 5 to 10 minute focus on certain things like independent movies or could be anything. Actors.
Yeah, just pretty much whatever I want to talk about or discuss or mm-hmm. put in the video. There was one where it was just like how I get decayed, how I get into character.
Makeup ritual.
Do the makeup and everything. Yeah, it was like a sped up version of that.
Right.
And then I had like an extended one just like as a separate YouTube video that was like closer to 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, there's so much to talk about the show. Hopefully we're talking about it in a way that it's understandable.
Hopefully we're not boring anyone.
Or it's in sort of some order
and some
that
people don't
followed.
Even know what a horror host is.
Right.
So... And then that's like, you have to go into that whole spiel to try to explain it.
Maybe we talk about that next episode.
Yeah, maybe we could
the history
do...
of horror hosting.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, kind of
a lot of people like that stuff.
Horror Host 101.
Horror Host 101.
Yeah, we can kind of run down and talk about what we know about the horror host.
Something to explain to the meme-eating millennials out there.
That's right. Yeah, I got to get you up to speed. This stuff, and our take on it is that it was popular once as a genre. Why can't it be popular again?
What's old can be cool again.
That's right. We think so. So I think we're going to wrap this episode up of Living the Scream.
More mummy humor.
Yeah. Oh, we love it here. I hear the music playing. It's going to play us out. What does that mean to play us out? What, to end the show? We'll do it live. Anyway.
Yeah, so okay. Everyone's heard that.
Yeah, we're gonna end the show. Sorry about that. I love that.
Thanks for listening and tuning in. And like always, check out themummyandthemonkey.com. We've got our Facebook, Instagrams, or just Google it.
That's right. Stop into the Thrift Crypt anytime you want. Well, not anytime you want, but we're open.
Anytime you want, when we're open.
Yeah, we're open Wednesday through Friday, three to six?
3 to 8 normally.
Three to 8 normally, and the weekend, Saturday, 11 to 6, and Sunday, noon to 4.
Yes, or just shoot us an email. Yeah. You can do a shop by appointment as well. When we go to conventions, we're obviously not at the store.
Yeah, and sometimes we're at cons and stuff, right? Like you just said.
Yeah, sometimes we're traveling.
Always check the Facebook page. But anyway, thanks a lot, folks, for listening. This is Grim Gory.
And Janet DeGay.
Signing off for Living
in the Scream.
What's wrong with you?
My lord, there go the eardrums.
I was holding back on that one, too.
It's easy to say, going away, but oh darling, what am I gonna do? Oh, now you tell me, you don't need my you find